You go, girl. You can take that guy down. Or can you? Truth is, you probably can't. I know that's a hard thing to hear, but you know, our lives should be grounded in reality, not fantasy. So welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. On Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And what I love about that is if you like the topic, you'll know from the title of the episode. Now, sometimes I worry, like, what if people don't really want to hear about this particular topic? Well, they won't listen to the episode. That's fine. Not everything is for everybody. If you're with me this far, I'm sure you'll stick with me for the rest of the episode because you have an interest in the topic. So I like being able to just chat with you about something that we have in common. So today I want to talk about the myth of the girl boss fighter. Okay, this is something that I've seen in media proliferate over the past few years, past several decades, really. And that's the idea, like you'll watch in action movies, for example, you'll have these women who are basically like stick figures, right? Women that are like 110 pounds soaking wet, and they're punching and kicking and throwing around the henchmen and the bad guys who are two or even three times their own size, just using karate and taking the bad guys down. And it creates this idea that women can fight men in this way. And it contributes to the larger social error that men and women are all basically equal. Well, men and women are, of course, equal in their basic dignity, but it's a larger social error that men and women are the same, that there's no real differences between men and women beyond prejudiced, bigoted, stereotypical social conventions. That if we got rid of misogyny and these social stereotypes, men and women would basically be the same at everything, which ignores, of course, there are clear biological differences between men and women. And that shows itself when it comes to fighting, to martial arts, to hand-to-hand combat. So the genesis of this episode, I was on social media and I saw people were debating, you know, if you're a woman, would you feel safer alone in the woods with a man or with a bear, right? Because, you know, men can be creepy, men are rapists, men are murderers and serial killers. And yes, some men do that, but some bears eat people. Bears are often known for eating people. Now, I don't know, somebody could sit down and do the math on this, like statistically speaking, what are you more in danger from? Because you could add up, like clearly there are more man attacks than bear attacks, but there's more men than bears. So we have to look at it per capita. And also when it comes to being safe with a bear, like in the presence of a bear, right? Most bear attacks, most bears will see humans, maybe charge them a bit and then run away. They don't spend extended periods of time. So I would say, okay, you're just with a bear and you're with them for 10 minutes or you're with a man for 10 minutes. You're in close proximity to one another. Well, think about this, right? You got a man who is you got a 200-pound mammal who can hurt you, or a 1,400-pound mammal that has knives for hands, for claws, right? Like if there were two men, right? A 200-pound man and a 1,400-pound man who has knives taped to his hands, which one would you be more scared of? I know what I'm more scared of. So that's where it started. And somebody could do all the math, figure out what statistically you're more in danger of. But I saw a news story after this, just right after this came out, where it detailed a guy who was attacked in Yellowstone by a bear. And he put his hands behind his neck and the bear was going to kill him. And the bear bit into his bear spray and it exploded in the bear's mouth and the bear ran away. Otherwise, the guy would have been killed. And I wanted to, and I don't really write on social media because I don't have the time for it, but I would have posted it and said, didn't that man know he was in more danger by himself in being with himself in the woods, a man, than with a bear? It is something like that. I think it's just kind of silly. But so there was a response to that, and it showed this woman, I forget her name, but she was described as a fourth degree black belt. And she stands in front of the camera and does a very fast bow staff twirl, you know, those long staffs. And she does a big bow staff twirl really, really fast going back and forth. And it certainly does look very impressive. And the caption said, I fear for the man and the bear if this woman is in the woods. And this woman is little. I looked up her stats. It says that she weighs 107 pounds. So she's probably like height-wise, I want to say, I don't know, 5'2", 5'1", maybe 5'3". 107 pounds. I'd fear for the man and the bear. And eventually, and that woman who posted it got a lot of pushback because there's not even a man who can take on a bear. I look at people, oh, there's a shirt that I love when it comes to jujitsu. And it says how to use jujitsu to fight a bear. And it has like an 8-step plan of how you could use jujitsu to fight a bear, like duck and shoot, rear naked choke, get on its back, choke him, he'll fall forward. And then on step 8, it says snap out of your fantasy and realize you died somewhere along step 2. But it is so true, though. You know, sorry. But let's say them. But I hear them say, like, look at her twirling her bow staff. And she does twirl it very fast. She could easily take down a man. A man would be afraid of her. And that's where I have to step in and say, no, it is very, very difficult to fight somebody bigger than you. It's not even just about men versus women. It's just really about size and strength when you're fighting. I mean, I've been doing jiu-jitsu now for a little over 2 years. My training was a little hampered by tearing my ACL, but I feel like I'm definitely picking up a lot more, and I'm getting a lot more experience, at least when it comes to grappling. And I also I've done boxing with other people, including people who are bigger than me. And there with boxing, you got to really, if someone's bigger than you, you got to rely on speed to, because if you let them connect those punches and they're bigger and throw muscle power behind them, even if you block the punch, you're going to go flying backwards. I have the coach we have, he doesn't pull his punches. I have gone flying a few times with him. I've been thrown across the room like a rag doll. So, you know, they'll say this stuff like, so they'll think of this woman, they'll see her, well, she's a 4th-degree black belt and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, but then I looked up what it was. It's in Taekwondo. Now, I'm not dogging on my Taekwondo listeners. Taekwondo kicks look very painful. I think Muay Thai kicks might be a bit more painful, though. Taekwondo kicks look very painful. If you connect those to somebody, that could definitely hurt a lot. But at the same time, there just is a difference between the martial arts. I think it takes about 3 years to get a black belt with Taekwondo. I've met many, many, many Taekwondo. Everybody I meet who does Taekwondo is a black belt. That's not what I see with jiu-jitsu. When I do jiu-jitsu, only about 2% of the people I meet who do jiu-jitsu are jiu-jitsu black belts, because it takes at least 10 years to get a jiu-jitsu black belt. It is very, very hard. So, I mean, and I've watched Taekwondo people fight jiu-jitsu grapplers, and there's just no contest. It's over. Once you close the distance and take the kicks away and you're down, the person's over. So getting back to this girl, it's funny. The woman who posted it eventually backpedaled and said, well, you know, she could beat up a guy in her similar weight class. Okay, similar weight class, she weighs 107 pounds. So I might say, yeah, okay, if she had her bow staff and she's a 4th-degree black belt, yeah, I'm sure she could probably win a fight against the average man who is in the 7th grade, the average male junior high student, or even like a 6th grader who weighs like 100 pounds. Sure. But it just boggles my mind, this myth of women thinking, yeah, I'm going to take that guy out. Because it's a dangerous myth to think that if you are a 110-pound woman, 130-pound woman, that you can just with you know, the self-defense training that they offer for women. And some of it's just laughably bad. Like if a guy comes up behind you and is choking you, you put your hands behind your head and try to put your thumbs in his eyes. That will never work. It will just never work. So it's not just the silliness. I worry about the safety of women thinking, yeah, I could take on that guy. No, you can't. How do I know that? Because in the last 2 years, I have had a lot of experience grappling, boxing, and also grappling with people who are much larger than me. And just fighting someone who is bigger, you need so much technical know-how to be able to do it. And it is just really tough. Though there is, I will say, there's a difference between men and women. Men have thicker bone density. We have thicker muscle fibers. We have testosterone to give more of an energy boost. Like if you take men and women of equal size and stature, on average, the man is going to be stronger. So, for example, in jiu-jitsu, I have grappled, you know, I grapple with women from time to time who come to class. And some women I've grappled with are bigger than I am. Like, I've grappled with women who are, I don't know, if I'd say maybe like they weigh 220 or 230. So, that's 50 pounds heavier than me. I can still submit. And these are people, by the way, who have the same skill set that I do, or they're even a higher belt. But I have to use a little bit more skill. I can't just joke around about it because they're a lot bigger than I am, but I can still submit them. But if I roll with a guy who is 50 or 60 pounds heavier, when I roll with guys who are 240, Sometimes I do get lucky and I can submit them if I'm real squirrely about it, but it is much, much more difficult. Even if they weigh the same, the 230-pound woman, 230-pound man, the man is just, he's just, I can just feel it. He's just so much stronger with his arms, his upper body and torso. So a lot of times, especially if I'm rolling with guys who are 250 or 270, we got one guy, he's 300 pounds. And I'm always like, why not? I'm a glutton for punishment today. And with someone that big, the only way you can fight somebody that big is you have to have technical know-how to basically go with their movement. You can't meet them force for force. You just can't. So when I look in action movies, when you have these women who use karate on guys twice their size, in real life, if a woman like that punched a guy, the guy would just grab her arms and she's helpless. The only way you can fight someone who's much, much bigger than you is to get them on the ground, get them on their back so they can't use a lot of their torque and force. And if they're coming at you, getting their motion so that when they're going in a certain direction, you let them go in that direction and you sweep them. So if you know judo, for example, you can do a lot of judo throws. Or jiu-jitsu, you can use sweeps. But you don't want to be under them. And I know, when I've been under 280-pound, 300-pound guys, it's not fun. It sucks. And sometimes I just feel stuck. I can't do anything. So, yeah, so I just want to get past this this myth. Those are the ones we see in films. Now, older films, when they show women fighting guys, it can be done realistically. So, for example, I love in Terminator 2. Terminator 2, you have Linda Hamilton play Sarah Connor. After the events of the first film, people think she's crazy. A robot from the future came to murder me, so she's locked up in a mental ward. And she wants to escape. So she plans an escape, and she breaks out of her cell through craftiness. She gets a paperclip and does that. And to get out, she uses stealth and cunning. Like, she hides behind a corner. She uses a door for leverage. She sneaks up on the guys to hit them. And it's still a fight for her. She's not just being the girl boss that can just use karate and just throw guys around. You can tell she really has to think it through and use surprise and use other elements to deal with men who are larger than she is. So that's why I would say, if you're a woman who wants to be able to defend herself, who wants to be able to defend herself against people who are larger, like, I think most female self-defense classes are worthless. You cannot learn in 4 weeks how to defend yourself against people twice your size. I've been doing this for 2 years, and I still have a lot to learn when it comes to fighting. I've never fought someone twice my size. That'd be a 350-pound guy. That would be very scary, and I would not, I'd probably get wrecked. Like, that's scary. So for a lot of women, a lot of guys are literally twice their size. So it's like, well, what are you going to do? Honestly, the only thing that's going to equalize it there is carrying a weapon, knowing how to use it, whether it's a gun or a taser or bear spray or something like that. I think that in the short term, that's the best that a woman's going to have to be able to equalize with a man who's much larger than her. Otherwise, if you want to learn how to use close quarter combat, you're not going to beat up a guy, but at least to get away or incapacitate them or even the odds. I do think grappling, like jiu-jitsu, it's really the only way to be able to learning some kind of grappling art so that you are able to turn the tables on the person. But I will be honest, for a woman to learn how to fight a guy who is even just like 50 pounds heavier than her, she's going to have to commit to jiu-jitsu for 2 to 3 years, 2 to 3 years, three to four times a week training. It's really the only way. And what makes me really sad is I have a friend, she's a female, she's a blue belt. And she has done tournaments, and she's done other martial arts tournaments, and she was beaten by a guy, she was beaten by another woman who was a guy, transgender in this tournament, you know, a guy pretending to be a woman, and she got silver and he got gold. And I said, that's BS. That's absolute BS. Because even in her weight category, like, if I rolled with women who are around my same weight category, like, it might be a little difficult, but it's so much easier than rolling with a guy. I am a crummy jiu-jitsu guy. I am barely figuring it out when I'm rolling with men. But if I just entered a tournament with women, I could probably do really well. But that would be such grand scale cheating. And I cannot believe, I knew the transgender thing, like 10 years ago, Time Magazine did the transgender moment with Laverne Cox, whatever her name is. And it was, you know, a lot of people, even then, I'm like, this isn't really going to take off, is it? And now you've got people who, it's just no big deal to them. They want to win these tournaments so badly. And it's not just martial arts, it's track, it's weightlifting, it's, you know, basketball, it's all this stuff. And they're just like, yeah, I'm a woman. And yeah, I'm a woman. It's ma'am. And then they enter and dominate. And it's like, when are we going to push back against this? I'm glad, by the way, I think it's international IBJJF, International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation. Their rule says you can only compete in what's on your birth certificate, which is the way it should be, which is the way it should be. Otherwise, it's totally not fair. So, well, I hope that was all helpful for you all. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have a very blessed weekend.